for best sports writer again, so as not to bias Walter with any of these ones to let him know what his vote would or wouldn't do, because we're all casting our votes in a vacuum here on this. So to keep it to where Walter's not being biased in any way by the information that he has, we'll take his vote. And again, in any of these categories, if no preference, then that's fine too. But Walter, let's get your vote for best sports writer, and then we'll break down what everybody else voted for.
Mike Wilbon.
Mike Wilbon, okay. And I'm looking at this here, and that is, okay. Well, that is our, and we had a wide variety of votes in this category. That is our one vote out of the group here for Mike Wilbon, out of the 34 voters that we had. And again, not every one of the 34 voted in this category. So what I'll just do, I will read off the ones that are just one vote. You know, I'll kind of build up to basically the lead here. And we have a tie situation, Walter. So you and I are going to have to either break this tie, or if we deadlock, first time one of the dignitaries calls in, we're going to have to punt this until we get another opinion here from one of them. Other nominees in this category. I'm going to say this a few times tonight when somebody votes for somebody and it's a matter of, oh boy, I'm glad somebody thought of them. Well, not to put myself over too much, but I think I cast one of these votes in this category here. Dr. Z. Paul Zimmerman, who, you know, I think a lot of us just grew up on with his great football writing and Sports Illustrated. The guy's had health problems for the last year or two, has been unable to keep doing his job. I'm glad that Dr. Z was not completely forgotten, if only, you know, by one of us here. But Dr. Z gets a vote. We also got a vote here from one of our local voters, Jim Ingram of the Lake County News Herald and Lorain Morning Journal, was voted by somebody as the best sports writer of all time. Blogger and Sports Illustrated writer Joe Posnanski got a vote. Buster Olney from ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. Kevin Allen from USA Today. I said that there were some joke nominees in some of these ones here. Well, our entertainment editor at FDH, Samantha Jones, voted for me, Rick Morris, in this category here. So we got one of our joke votes right there, right off the bat in the first category. We got a vote for Bill Conlon, longtime Philadelphia area sports writer. A vote for Cleveland legend Hal Lebovitz, who also had a baseball rules column in the Sporting News for many years. One vote for the ClubTrillion.com weblog guy. This is a guy who writes a blog, who is, I think, a bench player for the Ohio State basketball team. One vote for the TNT fantasy football writers, which is, again, kind of an inside joke. Myself and the voter who cast this vote, Bob Benek, we do some humorous football write-ups in our fantasy football league, so he nominated me and him for this one. Okay. Graham Foxy Fowler. I don't even know who this is. This is a British writer, and this was a vote that was cast by my sister-in-law, Kendra Morris, who knew that she had such interesting possibilities up her sleeve here. I'm trying to pull up her specific ballot to find this one here. Graham Foxy Fowler, and let's see, he is, as she says, the oh-so-famous cricket sports writer in England. Okay, I'll take her word for it about his level of fame. One vote for Bill Simmons from ESPN. Hopefully a future guest on the show. We're supposed to be getting him sometime soon to talk about his basketball book. One book for the late, great David Halberstam. One vote for Mitch Albom. One vote for Cleveland area TV and radio host, and he's also been a blogger. I guess it's in this category as a blogger, Les Levine. One vote for Chris Berman, who probably, for whatever he's written for ESPN.com, he's not really known as a writer, but guys can vote for whoever they want. One vote for Jason Sobel from ESPN.com, and then the one vote for Mike Wilbon. Guys who got two votes in the balloting here. There was only one guy with two votes. That was Rick Riley, formerly a long time of Sports Illustrated, now of ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. Three votes for Bob Ryan. He came very close to being in a tie. Boston Globe sports writer Bob Ryan came close. But there are four votes apiece, and this is kind of an unlikely duo as far as you don't really hear these guys much in the same conversation. They're in different areas of the country. They do different, you know, things essentially. As far as what they focus on, one vote for New York Daily News sports writer and ESPN personality Mike Lupica, which makes me want to gag that he got four votes, but okay, whatever. And four votes for a gentleman who is primarily known for being a Northeast Ohio sports writer, long time for the Akron Beacon Journal, more recently in the last 2 years or so for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Also has written a lot of great books. He's written books on the Cleveland Indians, on the ABA. He wrote a great book on the history of the ABA. So he's branched out. He's not just a Cleveland area guy. And he's also been writing some columns the last couple of years since he had kind of his own spiritual awakening on religion. He kind of does that a little bit on the side for the newspaper as well. I speak, of course, of legendary Cleveland sports writer Terry Pluto. So we have a tie for first place between Mike Lupica and Terry Pluto in this one here. And the way it goes is this. For the second ballot on these things here, anybody can vote for anybody aside from whoever their first ballot one was. So essentially on the second ballot, I can't vote for Dr. Z, Paul Zimmerman. Walter can't vote for Mike Wilbon. So it's a second place preference. If we deadlock on this, if these guys are still tied at the same number of votes, then as I say, it'll just go to whoever the first dignitary to check in is with us. We'll settle it at that point in time. My vote's going to go to Terry Pluto. I'll just go to break the tie right now between the two guys here. I hadn't really thought of him personally. I did kind of default towards thinking at more of a national level, but the more I started thinking about it from these votes here, the more I really couldn't argue with it. And the versatility that he has, the having his hand on the pulse, I think, generally of what's going on with sports teams. I'll vote for Terry Pluto with my vote. So with your second place vote, Walter, who do you like?
I'll go with Terry Pluto, too.
All right. There you go. So Terry Pluto is going to end up taking this thing on the second ballot then. So we have a winner in the first category here. And I have, let me see here. Here it is. As was the case previously, we have our Dundee Award from The Office show, of course. So we hoist the Dundee Award in tribute to Terry Pluto, our first winner tonight. Terry Pluto, winner, greatest sports writer of all time on the balloting here. So and we're keeping track also as well here to see who votes for the most winners over the course of the night as well. We have a little bit of a side thing as well here. So we'll be tracking that to see how that one goes. For best underappreciated athlete, This one was hilarious. We'll do this one before we go to our bottom of the hour break a little bit belatedly. This one here, Walter, this is amazing. Out of all of these ones, and again, there were 34 people up to now who are eligible to cast votes in this thing, and not everybody voted in it. There was one, two, three voters who did not. Of the ones who did vote, one guy got two votes, and he's in the lead. Everybody else got one. This is one of those Rorschach test questions. I say underappreciated athlete, and it means a million different things to a million different people. It would be like finding a needle in a haystack for you to cast a vote to put any of these guys in a tiebreaker, but what the hey? Let's see what it is. If you have an opinion on this one, who do you like for best underappreciated athlete of all time?
Of all time?
All time. And that's what makes it so interesting here. That's what adds to the versatility of the whole thing.
Man, all-time most unappreciated athlete.
That is a brain teaser, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a hard question. See, I thought it was just, right now.
This is all-time. This is the best of the best all-time. Now, it could be somebody present. I mean, I got a bunch of votes people submitted for stuff from right now. So it could be. Could be somebody on the present scene.
I honestly have to say,
okay,
Donovan McNabb,
okay,
is the most unappreciated athlete because what he has done for Philly. Philly has been a winning team ever since they drafted the kid. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and you can't tell during the offseason because they're always talking about trading him.
Yeah, they always are. So that's true.
And I'm the one time that he had a great receiver, they went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He took that team to NFC Championship after NFC Championship. And when you give him the correct pieces, the team can be very special. And they're acting like he's over the hill. I mean, Peyton Manning is his age. It's still quarterbacks that are his age or older that they give more respect. So I would say Donovan McNabb is the most unappreciated athlete.
Yeah, and it is true. I've pointed that out as well about not having great wide receivers to work with, aside from the period of time with T.O. And, of course, you know, that's always borrowed time whenever T.O.'s showing up on your team. You know, it's going to flame out sooner or later. But, yeah, that was the one window where he had somebody elite to work with. I was pretty sure that Donovan McNabb had gotten another vote, but here's the funny thing. People will sometimes speculate to me about who they're going to vote for. So somebody talked about voting for Donovan McNabb but didn't. So Donovan McNabb is going to be part of this huge tie for second place because I'm looking at this here, and whoever it was that was telling me they might vote for Donovan McNabb didn't. So Donovan McNabb is one of a large number of runner-ups along with everybody else in this who got only one vote here. We'll go right down the list. I voted for Bob Greasy, who, again, you know, childhood hero of mine, the reason I'm a Dolphins fan as well as a Browns fan. Loved me some Bob Greasy from back in the day. I only really remember the tail end of his career, but just love him. Think he was really, really underappreciated. Got to vote. Paul Belfie voted for Aaron Rodgers. So some guys were voting for present-day stuff. Thinks that he's underrated, you know, relative to the accomplishments that he's doing. Still in Brett Favre's shadow, even with his accomplishments. Buck Woodward from PWI. This is a great one. Jeff Fiegels. I didn't know that, you know, being a punter who's been around 50 years would necessarily qualify anybody, but that's what he went for. Jeff Fiegels was the vote there. Another vote for Brandon Roy. And that's the thing. That's the beauty of this category. It's going to jump all over the place, present day into the past, from Brandon Roy to Jerry Shirk, who played for the Browns in the late 70s and the early 80s.
I don't even know who that is.
Defensive tackle. Great player, but best known for getting one nasty case of staph infection. He was a member of the Browns with staph infection before it was cool. I mean, now these days, Walter.
He was the forefather.
Yes, he was. These days, everybody gets it. But back in like 1980 or 1981 or whenever, he was a trailblazer. From Jerry Shirk to Fred McGriff, to Daryl Moose Johnston, to Tim Tebow, for apparently not being very highly regarded as a pro prospect, to Henrik Lundqvist, who is underappreciated by a lot of New York Ranger fans, not least of which our good buddy Ryan Isley, to Troy Polamalu, Bernard Laggett, Bert Blyleven, Ron Karkovice, of all people, Cliff Lee, Bernie Kosar, another fella named Walter Payton, Lil Penny Hardaway actually got a vote, of all things. Hank Aaron, Joe Johnson of the Hawks, Josh, you got to love this one, from Josh Cribbs to Josh Gibson. These were literally back-to-back votes. Doesn't that just blow your mind? I told you it was wide open, Walter.
I want to talk about Josh Cribbs for a second.
Oh, go ahead.
Him being unappreciated, I want to know, why do people feel that way? I don't think he's unappreciated. I just feel that he has a special set of skills that he really can only do his thing when the other team has success. After they score a touchdown, they kick the ball to Josh Cribbs.
That's true.
I mean, he really doesn't. You can't. And a lot of people want him to get a whole bunch of money, this, that, and other. But how can you pay him a whole bunch of money when what he does is based on chance? You don't know if it can't happen every time, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like with a wide receiver, you know for a fact a number one wide receiver is going to catch a certain amount of balls, is going to have a big impact on the game. But a kick returner and the things that Josh Cribbs does well, sometimes it's not going to work. And on a good team, what is it really worth? Is it worth a first-round draft pick? No, nobody's going to give us a first-round draft pick for Josh Cribbs.
That's true.
So I think he's not underappreciated. He's right around where he should be. Should he get paid more than he does now? A little bit more, but his contract should have a lot of incentives in it because you don't know. He's not a number one wide receiver, so he's not going to catch that many balls. Some games he's going to be ineffective. It's going to be like he's not there. Some games he's going to be the number one guy. So you really can't pay him like he is a star player, because a star player is there every game, and they have an impact even if they're not doing anything. They have to game plan around them. Teams don't really game plan for Josh Cribbs.
No, that's true. I can't argue with that at all. So he got a vote, but the vote that he got was right before the vote we got for Josh Gibson. Anytime you go from somebody, you know, 60 or 70 years apart, That just shows you the span of this category. Nothing in common at all except for the first name. Ken Riley from the Cincinnati Bengals. I had to look that one up. A guy who was a cornerback back in the 70s and the early 80s. He was still playing. He was at the tail end of his career, but still a really good player when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl for the first time. One vote for Derek Jeter. One vote for my all-time favorite athlete, who I didn't vote for, shockingly enough. That's a pattern tonight, by the way. I didn't vote for a lot of my favorites here. I kept it honest, but Steve Yzerman got a vote. One vote for Martin Brodeur. We had back-to-back hockey votes here. One vote for Bo Jackson. That's a big one for, you know, on the what might have been side. One vote, which is interesting, for Barry Sanders, who did get a lot of appreciation, but he's not commonly regarded necessarily hands down as the best. A lot of people still think of Jim Brown in that way. So that's an interesting one. Al Order got a vote. Ryan Malone, back to the hockey, he got a vote. Marvin Harrison and Donovan McNabb, these are all guys with one vote. So this was the most spread out category with somewhere in the ballpark of 30 different nominees. One guy got two votes. One guy got them, and I would say that the award is staying in the Cleveland area were it not for the fact that this guy is well-traveled. You might first and foremost think of him as a Cleveland Indian, but if you were to look at every baseball hat that he wore, he was kind of all over the place. Kenny Lofton is our winner as we hoist the Dundee Award for Kenny Lofton for the most underappreciated athlete of all time. Kind of a surprising one, but then again, you know, this is so random with everybody that everybody was voting for, Walter. I think anybody would have been surprising.
Yeah, because just like you said, it's so spread out. It can go from yesterday's athlete to 50, 60, 80 years ago. So, I mean, it's just all – I like this because, you know, it's based off everybody's opinion. So it's going to be different. So everyone – you know, nobody's collectively figuring this out together. So it's kind of cool.